Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody to the second Sunday of Christmas. Announcements today, the reverse Advent calendar food drive. Today's the deadline. Everything needs to be here at the handicap side, at the doors. The flower charts for the upcoming years. The sign-up sheets is down in the hallway, so if everybody can, stop by and sign up. Congregational Council and Officers installation will be next Sunday, the 10th. Pastor Anna Carter will be, her first day on the job will be January the 11th, so we'd like to all welcome her. Also on January 11th, we'll have the council meeting at 7 o'clock in the office complex. Also, we got some stuff still down in the fellowship hall on the table there. If anybody would like dishes, books, chairs, whatever's left, just stop by and pick them up. And I think it's January the 5th, it's all gonna leave. So if you ain't got it by then, it'll be gone. The annual audit is scheduled for February the 7th. This morning we have one prayer shawl for Bobby Crotts. Not sure anything about it, but just need to pray for him. Got several thank you notes. I'm very grateful because you were very thoughtful. Thank you so much for the Christmas gift. It was very kind of you to remember me. I consider it a privilege to know the church grounds, mow the church grounds, and I appreciate your allowing me to continue looking after the yard. Happy New Year, Mr. Comer. This one says, may God bless you and enrich your life and your ministry in every way. Thank you so much for the gift of the prayer of Shaw in advance on my surgery. It means a lot to me, and I will have it with me in the hospital. In Christ's love, Pastor Tao. And it's good to have him back with us this morning. Got another one. This is to the congregation. Thank you for the Christmas bonuses for me and Joey. We appreciate the gift and your kindness. That's from Edwina and Joey. They keep growing up here. Here's a season's greetings card. Dear friends, may you enjoy your wonderful season and Happy New Year. Thank you for the Christmas basket. I will enjoy the, I can't even read. Miss seeing everyone and hope we can be back together real soon. Have been fortunate so far and haven't had the virus. Thank you again for the goodies and your thoughtfulness. God's blessing, Mavis. Birthdays and anniversaries. Happy birthday to Gary Hedrick, Bobby Fritz, Michael Kepley. No anniversaries today. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which pass all understanding, about all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have filled all the earth with the light of your incarnate word. By your grace, empower us to reflect your life in all that we do, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I'll invite the children to come up. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Happy New Year. Did you have a good Christmas? Except for what? Dad got sick, right? But he looks like he's feeling better, I hope. Okay. What does this say? Joy. Joy. Did you experience joy at Christmas? At least a little? Okay. And what's at the center of this? It's a nativity, right? Kind of an abstract art, I guess. But Mary, Joseph, and the baby. And what's on the edges? Birds, right? See some birds there. And maybe some animals, at least the heads of animals, the camel and the cow maybe. It's a nativity scene. But one of the key things about Christmas, Scripture tells us, and one of the Sundays we celebrate in Advent, is the Sunday when we celebrate joy. And sometimes we think joy is the same as happiness, but it's really not. Joy is a little different in that joy is something that's inside of us. It's not caused so much because somebody gives us a nice present or we see an old friend. Joy is a sense that's how we are inside, how we feel inside. And God promised the children of Israel when they were in exile that they would know joy again, even though that was a terrible time. And when we think about Christ coming, we think about the joy of Christ coming. Even though they were in a foreign land and they had to go way away from home, they were stuck in the wilderness part of the time. They later had to flee to Egypt, right, to stay safe. But there was joy because they had a new child whom they loved, and that new child was God's gift to all of creation. So joy has always been one of my favorite words to use at Christmas. And this is the second Sunday of Christmas. There are 12 days of Christmas. And so we're almost to the end of the 12 days, but not quite. The end will come this week. So we're really still celebrating Christmas. Now, a lot of people stop celebrating Christmas on Christmas Day. This is still Christmas, right? And so most years, well, a lot of years, we only have one Sunday of Christmas. That's the first Sunday after Christmas. Some years we have two. This year we had two. And even though a lot of people don't celebrate 12 days of Christmas, we do. And at the end of the 12 days of Christmas will be this celebration of Epiphany, and that's when we remember the wise men coming on that day. But I hope you, despite all the challenges you had with your dad being sick and having to get tests and all that, that you found joy in Christmas, and that this new year brings much joy despite all the troubles of the last year. So let us pray. Dear Jesus, help us to know your joy when we're afraid or confused, when we don't know what to do, or we're worried and anxious. Remind us that you are with us, that your grace will keep us, and that your joy will return to us. We ask all this in your holy name. Amen. Thanks for coming up, and I hope you have a really good week.
For the second Sunday of Christmas is from the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the farthest points of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child, and those in labor, together a great company, they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble, for I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Psalm. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He grants peace within your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word truly runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. He hurls down hail like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and ordinances to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his ordinances. Praise the Lord. A reading from the first chapter of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. I have a friend from Minnesota, and he loves to tell spin and Ole stories. One is about Spin and Ole decide they're going to go on a hunting trip in Canada. So they hire a pilot to fly them in deep into Canada, into one of the lakes, and they're going to hunt moose. Well, they had a great week. They bagged 6 moose. They started loading the plane for the trip home, however. The pilot said he could only take 4 moose. Well, Spin and Ole argued with him for a while. And they said, look, last year we shot 6, and the pilot let us put all of them on board. He had the same plane you have. So finally the pilot said, okay, allowed him to load the 6 moose, all their other stuff. So he revved up the engine to take off across the lake. Full power, the little plane took off only a little bit. Got caught on the trees at the end of the lake and crashed. Climbing out of the wreck, Sven looks over and says to Ole, any idea where we are? Ole says, yeah, I think it's pretty close to where we crashed last year. We have a temptation at times to do the same thing we've done before, regardless of what happened, and think somehow the outcome will be different. This is a new year. We have new beginnings, new opportunities. But do we see the new in it? It's been a difficult year past, a hard year for many people. There were losses. There were losses of jobs, losses of businesses. Many people died from this disease. So it's a year of great difficulty, having to do everything differently. This year will begin with much of the same restriction, but with hope because of the vaccine, and hope that we will reach a point sometime before long that we can return to some sense of normalcy. I was reading this week some with quotes from the early desert fathers and mothers. They were a group of early Christians who sought a closer relationship with Jesus by going into the desert or the wilderness. Oftentimes they'd go alone. Occasionally they were in small groups. But their insights, it seems to me, are very simple but very important for our spiritual journey. One of the things that they emphasized was never stop starting over. Abba Poman said regarding Abba Prin that every day he made a new beginning. Another, Arsenio, said, my God, do not abandon me. I have done nothing good before thee, but grant me in thy compassion the power to make a start. That's what the new year brings to us, the power to make a start, to do things differently, to learn from our past, and in that learning, make a better future. The thing about Israel was that Israel was promised God's love and grace. Israel was his chosen people. And they would promise God that they would live as he told them to live. And yet time after time, they would fall short. And time after time, they faced troubles and difficulties because they didn't follow God's will. Eventually, they came to this time when they confronted the collapse of the nation, and they were carried into exile. Jeremiah had warned them about that. If you look at the book of Jeremiah, it is one long warning about their behavior and the results that's waiting. But right in the middle of Jeremiah, there are a couple of chapters that are called the Book of Consolation. In these chapters, the prophet tells the children of Israel that despite their failings and shortcomings, God has not forgotten them, that they will be restored, that they will again know the joy of God's grace and presence in their life. And he promises them that it will not only be those who are in power or authority, but the weak and the poor. young mothers, orphans. They will all know God's joy and grace. God promises that they will again experience His grace and mercy. See, the thing is that God wills life for people, all His people. He desires for His people a place to live securely, all they need for daily nourishment, and a life in which they experience His grace with joy and praise. And yet His judgment came upon the children of Israel. But the judgment was not what God wanted for them. It rather is the announcement of the destructive consequences when they ignore God's will. The prophet Jeremiah had the terrible burden of having to tell the people God's warning that they would experience punishment, that they would experience exile. But these chapters in the middle are a promise that despite that, God's will is for the people to prosper and to do well. God stayed faithful to the people through all those times when they drifted away and followed some new direction. He now promises them a new covenant which will exist in their heart, that He will be their Father even though they haven't called Him my Father, that they will experience His grace, His everlasting love, His mercy, and His faithfulness. The ultimate revelation of God's grace is in Christ. John references grace upon grace that comes through Christ. From the beginning, God's Word, God's purpose has always been life. And God's eternal purpose was revealed in the flesh in Jesus so that all might experience that grace and that mercy. That promise, it seems to me, is so important to us in this year after so many losses, so much confusion and fear and division. One of the other things the Desert Fathers remind us of is never give in to despair. Makarios of Egypt said, "Let us eagerly draw near to Christ, and let us not despair of our salvation." For it's a trick of the devil to lead us to despair by reminding us of our past sins and failings. St. John of Carpathos would say, when someone is defeated after offering resistance, do not give up in despair. Let him take heart, encouraged by the words that God raises up all who are bowed down. Do all in your power not to fall, for the strong athlete should not fall, he says. But if you do, get up again at once and continue the contest. Even if you fall 1,000 times, rise up again each time. The Desert Fathers we sometimes see as some idealized or eccentric people who live off, but they knew and understood what it was like to live in faith and to struggle against sin and to struggle to do God's will. St. Anthony said to Poem, "Be ruthlessly realistic. Expect trials and temptations until your last breath." St. Makarios went on to say, "I am convinced that not even the apostles, although they were filled with the Holy Spirit, were completely free from anxiety. Contrary to, in his words, the stupid view expressed by some, the advent of grace does not mean immediate delivery from anxiety. It is normal to know anxiety. It is normal to experience guilt from sin and failing. But the promise is that despite all of that, God's grace is there and promised to us in the gospel. Paul, in his encouragement to the congregation at Ephesus, emphasizes that grace. It emphasizes the truth of the gospel in this world. We can and will continue, unfortunately, in our broken world, too often to live in our own echo chambers, where we are only seeing those views we agree with, We experience and share prejudices that we agree with. We ignore or discount opposing views. Truth, however, truth that comes in Jesus Christ, and truth is revealed to all people. John's hymn to the Word is truth. It starts with a truth that is undeniable and painful. There is darkness in the world. We see the darkness when we see people who confine themselves to those echo chambers where they hear only one point of view and only one idea, where they shut themselves out to the experiences of other people. That's the darkness, the difficulty and the challenge and the loss in the world. John's first 18 verses focus on that truth. Four places in particular, he says, light shines in the darkness. There is darkness. We live in a broken world, whether the darkness of COVID or the darkness of division or the darkness of anger or the darkness of suffering. But the light of Christ shines in the midst of that. Too often, however, we fail to recognize it. In verse 10, he says, he was in the world and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. They failed to recognize and see who Jesus was. And in verse 11, he came to what was his own. His own people did not accept him, even the children of Israel, who had the promise throughout the Old Testament of Christ's coming, could not or would not accept who Jesus was, the light and the darkness. And finally, in verse 18, we're reminded that no one has ever seen God. Therefore, God sent his Son to take on our flesh and reveal God to us. John tells us the truth in the midst of loneliness and longing, life in this world and all its troubles and difficulties. Too often when we hear the truth, we have trouble accepting it or acknowledging it. Too often we allow the darkness to define us or overwhelm us, to rob us of the power of the light in Christ, the grace that God gives. While there is darkness, the light shines on. The darkness cannot understand the light, and it most assuredly cannot overcome the light. While some may reject the light or fail to recognize Jesus, those who accept and recognize him recognize in turn that they are children of God, as Paul assures us in the waters of baptism. While it's impossible for us to see God, we can, through Jesus, come to know God. And that knowing of God allows us to experience God's grace. Finally, I would note a saying from Evagrius the Solitary, show the greatest gentleness toward all people. Paul reminds us we have everything we need to live according to God's word. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven through our baptism. We are children of our Father, the King. Yet we still live in this world, foreigners living among sin and darkness, but those who have seen and heard the light. As those who have seen and heard the light, we're called to live with love and grace toward other people. It's easy for us to think we're not responsible for the world. We're not charged with changing the world. And yet that's what Paul tells us we are specifically to do. In the beginning, God spoke the world into being, named the sun, moon, and stars, put them in motion, separated the water, created the oceans and mountains. He began with one man named Adam, gave Adam a wife, later called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob became Israel, and God established his bond with his chosen people. When they failed to live according to his word, they experienced separation and isolation. But God did not abandon them and sent his Son to bring redemption and reconciliation. Grace extended not only to his chosen people, but to all the world. And we're now called to join in the work of God as we take up his gospel message of forgiveness to the world, a message that started in Jesus. Now his kingdom reaches around the world, and we're called to live according to that word, showing the gentleness of Christ toward all people, to sing his praise and share his grace, to live in his joy in the midst of this world, not because it's perfect, not because there are no troubles, but because in the midst of that, we can live in the joy of God's love, of Christ's salvation, of the promise that in the end, light will triumph and life will come to us in eternity with our Savior. Amen.
Let us confess what we believe by use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again, judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
With joy and gratitude for the gift of Christ our Savior, let us draw near to God, praying on behalf of the church, the world, and all who are in need. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious Son. Thank you for your love made flesh in Jesus. Thank you for the glorious inheritance you have prepared for all who love you. Bestow upon this dark world a foretaste of your eternal life and peace. Grant that this new year may bring hope, prosperity, health, justice, and harmony to all. Lord, in your mercy, transform your church into a temple worthy of Christ. Protect it from stumbling. Let it not be overcome by sorrow, division, or despair. Fill bishops, pastors, deacons, and theologians with wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord, that all may have joy in your presence. Draw many through its doors to meet Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, grant to all Christians who are persecuted a foretaste of the glorious inheritance you have stored up for them in Christ. Fill them with wisdom and faith. Let them confound and convert their tormentors. Give us grace to provide for their needs and speak in their defense. Lord, in your mercy, give the people of this congregation wisdom, faithfulness, kindness, generosity, and joy. Fashion Holly Grove into a fellowship that is lovely with the light of Christ. Make us true sisters and brothers to one another and to our elder brother Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for all theologians and instructors in the faith, especially those who teach future pastors. Give them hearts centered in Christ, minds that delight in your commands, mouths that speak faithful words of your law and gospel, and souls that are pure and holy as they guide and shape those whom you call to be your servants. Lord, in your mercy, make the world's leaders desire wisdom. Expand the imagination of all those in positions of authority. Open their hearts to the needs of their nations and communities. Equip them to seek the good of the people entrusted to their care. Teach them to fear and love you above all earthly power or riches. We pray especially for our President Donald, our Governor Roy, and our President-elect Joe. Lord, in your mercy, you bring consolation to those who weep. Embrace those who feel far off, excluded, defeated, or alone. Accompany those living with chronic illness, addiction, or mental illness. We plead on behalf of all whose lives are clouded by sorrow, shattered by suffering, or weighed down by pain or sickness, especially Burnett, Gary, Walter, Aldine, Teresa, Jean, Libby, Barbara, Mary, Bill, Rex, Harold, Scott, Kara, Michael, Neil, Steve, Keeley, Brent, and baby Bryce, Kenneth, Charlotte, Lynn, Eva Ray, David, Pauline, Curtis, Joanne, Randy, Rylan, Brian and Shelley, the family of Edwin Knus, Bobby, our servicemen and women all over the world, those who are unemployed and looking for work. Bring them healing and hope. Help us to ease the burdens of those who care for loved ones day in and day out, and bless with compassion and competence all who practice the healing arts. Lord, in your mercy, you turn our mourning into joy. We give thanks for those who have died in the faith, especially those near and dear to us. Bestow your Spirit upon all of us in this new year. Renew us in faith. Strengthen us for service. Unite us in bonds of unity and compassion, that we also might be gathered into eternal home when our life's journey ends. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, merciful God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Peace be with you.
Let us pray. O God of justice and love, we give thanks to you that you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need, awaken us to the needs of others, and at the end, bring all the world to your feast. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
The Bishop's Statement of Holy Grove Lutheran Church. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.